We were groomed to move on. And I know it got comfortable in there. Nice and warm. Didn't have to go grocery shopping. Didn't have any chores around the house to do. Didn't have to go to school. Just laid in that womb. All cuddly. Warm. Protected. But you were created to change. And when the time came, oh, you know, you've heard it, if you've ever had children, or maybe you've seen it in movies, suddenly the birth pangs attack that woman's safe place. And she looks over at her husband and she says, "Honey, it's time." And he knows what that means. It means there's a change coming. And down through that birth canal, and out into another world. Change. It's what the Holy Spirit is speaking to the body of Christ. It's time to move on. It's time to possess what I have given you. You've circled this mountain long enough. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Look at it with me. Put it up on the screen, please. Here's the testimony of a man called Moses. He said, "When we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord God said to us, 'You've stayed at this mountain long enough. You've been in preschool. Now you have to go to elementary school. You've wore a size 1 and, ooh, now you're in a size 2. Life demands change. And in verse 7, he tells them, it's time to break camp and move on. It's time to break camp. In other words, leave the place that we've grown comfortable in. And I want you to go. Go to. And it's interesting that you can't go to unless you leave from. And the Holy Ghost is speaking to the body of Christ to go to. But in order for us to arrive, we've got to leave from. He's told them to go to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, all the way to the great Euphrates River. He goes on to say in verse 8 of the same chapter, I want you to go. In other words, they said, let's go. I'm giving you this land. Go occupy it. And that's what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and me today. It's time for us to go from where we've been. The last 3 weeks have been some of the most miraculous times in our 39 years of marriage. God was speaking about His kingdom and inviting us to expand it on the earth. When we heard that and began to operate in it, it literally changed our lives as we've known it. Now, I've had a lot of changes in the kingdom over the years, but none like this. There were days, there were some days in that period of time where we either witnessed directly or led 8 or 9 people a day to the Lord. Praying for the sick, encouraging pastors that would come into our path. I remember one day we were with a young man, and maybe Lewis, you're watching today, from St. Thomas, who was a graduate of World Harvest Bible College some 7 or 8 years ago, who had hopes of pastoring a church, and it never came through. The pastor that invited him to come on changed his mind and decided that he wasn't qualified. His hopes were dashed. He was discouraged. And my wife and I, strategically, by the king of this kingdom, put us in his car for 8 hours that day. And all we did was encourage him to move on. To go forward. To embrace what God has put in your spirit. By the end of that day, miraculously, I can't give you all the details. We found ourselves standing in a realtor's office. Looking at properties. Just for the fun of it. Oh, you know, 1.2 million. 2.5 million. I mean, they're nice places. And you don't let them know you don't have any money. You just have fun and act like you do. And Lewis was with us, and he had never shown anybody the drawings of his church until that day he showed my wife and I. I took a picture of it on my phone, and I could put it on the screen, but I don't have time for that either. But the very building that he drew a picture of became available that morning on the sales market. I kept telling Lewis that he needs to take that as a sign from God and open his church. You should be the pastor. So he came into the realtor's office and asked the woman, "Do you know anything about this building? Such and such a place just came available." She goes, "Oh my goodness, of course. My husband had his business there for 34 years. I know that building very well." We said, "Okay, Holy Spirit, you're leading, we're following." She called the realtor, the owner of the building, and said, "We'd like to see it. There's some people here from a cruise ship. They're leaving in a few hours." And she said, "Well, I can't do it today. Maybe tomorrow." She said, "No, they're leaving." See, she thought I had money. Maybe it's the gray hair. And by the end of the day, we were walking inside of his vision. And we left him with negotiations. I found myself negotiating with the realtor on his behalf. And this is the first time I ever met this man. I'm walking through and telling him we can do this and we could build this and that sounds good. And boy, that price is a little bit high on square footage. Can you bring that down to about $10 and blah, 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 blah. The only thing that's separating you from your destiny is your decision to move toward it. That's the only thing that's keeping you from moving in to what God has prepared. Of course, the realtors are trying to butter us up and ask real, be real nice to us. And so, where are you guys from? I said, "Well, we're from a country called heaven." I said, "I was born there. I'm a native of heaven. And I hope to return to my homeland soon." She goes, "Well, I hope we all will." Open door. I think God has given every one of us opportunities to introduce the kingdom of God to a generation. But because we're so caught up with the props in life, in other words, the daily routines, we miss the assignment that God's given us. And I want to introduce us as a church to begin embracing the kingdom of God like we never have before. And that means a personal responsibility to open up your mouth and tell people about the love of Jesus. If all you get to say to them is, "Jesus loves you," as you take your coffee from the drive-up window, then do it. Let me share with you a couple of things. And all of these boxes and paraphernalia on the platform help us to remember that when you move, it requires that we pack up some stuff and take it with us. You see, Numbers chapter 14 and 24 talks about a man that had a different attitude. His name was Caleb, and there were so many people that didn't believe that they could possess what God told them that they incited a riot of all of Israel. But there was like two guys who said, "You know what? Why not believe God?" And the Bible says about Caleb in the New Living Translation, he said this, "My servant Caleb is different from others." And I'm just decreeing and declaring that over you, that you are different from others. You will remain loyal to God And God said, because of your loyalty, I will bring you into the land that you've explored. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, there are many people in your congregation who've explored the land of the miraculous, who've explored the kingdom of God and 100% commitment before, but they backed out of it because of the intimidations of others around them and the circumstances in their life that have overpowered them, and they don't want to walk in it. But you know what? They're a different attitude. They are ones that are loyal, and I'm going to bring them in. All they need is a testimony from you. And so God has a land for you and me to dwell in, a land for you and me to go into, a kingdom of the miraculous. And we need to seek to be unique. Numbers 13 and 30 basically says this. Caleb tried to encourage the people as they stood before Moses. He said, let's go. Say that with me. Let's go. He said, let's go at once to take the land. He said, we can certainly conquer it. And I like those two words, let's go or let us go. Because if you really look into that word, it says this, let go and you can let's go. Sometimes when you move from one place to another, there are too many memories that keep you contained in your past. We'll talk more about that next week. There are different hallways. There are different configurations. There are different landscapes that God wants to give us. But if we begin to encroach upon those new things with the memories of the past, we'll get up in the morning, early hours, like we did yesterday, because we were in a particular configuration. When you got out of the bed, you ducked this way and walked around that and you went down this hallway to get to the bathroom. And when I got up, even though I was in a different place, I got up and did the configuration of where I had been. And guess what I did? I bumped into the dresser. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to a lot of people this morning that God wants to introduce you to a new thing, but your memories are configuring in your mind the old patterns. And every time that God wants to take you down the new hallway, you keep bumping into the dresser. So when you pack up your things, there are some things you got to leave behind. I always like moving. And Tina and I have moved so many times in our marriage, I can't even remember the amount of times. I mean, it must be like 30 times or something we've moved. I'm serious. When we were in Bible college, I think we moved 13 times in 2.5 years. So we know how to move. And I'm always glad because Tina likes to keep things. And it doesn't take long. I mean, 2 years and we've got stuff. We moved into the house. We didn't have much. 2 years later, it's like, where all this stuff come from? Can I get a witness? Amen. And I thank God she never wants to take all of it with her. We leave some stuff behind. I mean, just encourage somebody this morning and say, if you're going to move on, you're going to have to leave some stuff behind. Go ahead, tell them that. Come on, please. See, I believe there's a place for you and me in this generation that is waiting for your thumbprint. It's waiting for your thumbprint. But until you conquer it, you can't put your identity on it. We were getting off of this ship yesterday or the day before, whenever it was, and I was trying to administrate our, disembarkation, sign all the right papers, fill out the customs forms, wanted to get off the ship as early as we could because we had to drive 3 hours to another airport, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, I want to get a bus ride to the airport, signed all that. So I'm getting off the bus, we get our luggage together. Our porter, by the way, was Edith. She's the one that was on crack cocaine for 22 years. So we're walking off the ship shouting and having church. I get to the bus, and the gentleman stands there and says, your vouchers, please. And I said, vouchers? I don't have a voucher. He said, well, you have to have a voucher. I said, well, I signed up for the voucher. Nobody gave it to me. He goes, look, if you don't have a voucher, the taxis are over there. And I'm thinking, God, I don't want to go over there. I want to get on the bus with everybody else. You ever feel that way? God, I don't want to go over there. But how many know that we have a Father? And He has a kingdom. And that He's the King. And if He said, go over there, guess what? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Come on, honey, we're taking a taxi. Goody, goody, I wonder what God's going to do now. So we get in the car. The assignment is to share Christ with the driver. Ernest is not talking very much. And we start on him. Did you know that Jesus is the Son of God? We got like 25 minutes, so we got to hurry. Jesus loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. Are you born again? Finally, Ernest tells us that he's a Haitian American. And I said, now, God, I know why they forgot to give me my voucher. Because I needed to speak with Ernest, whose family is in Haiti. Who's not born again, who I'm sitting in the back seat of his car, and I'm on assignment. So Tina goes to work. And we know, we work as a tandem, you know. When I've got the lead, she backs down. When she gets the lead, I keep trying. And I backed off, and she's ministering to him, because she was a former Roman Catholic. He's a Roman Catholic. You know, Roman Catholicism is great. It teaches you to love God, but they don't teach you to know God. We get out of the car. Ernest says, you've touched my heart today. He said, in all the years that I've driven cab, nobody's ever told me like you've told me today. They've handed me tracts. They told me to come to their church. He said, but they never talked to me to my heart. We got out of the cab, we lifted our hands and said, God, you have a kingdom, and we're from a country called heaven, and we're on assignment, and every step we take is ordered of you. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, hey Lou, if you'll expand my kingdom, I'll expand yours. Because you and I are one. And if I get bigger in your sphere of influence, you'll get bigger in that same sphere of influence. And I said, God, I think I had it inverted. I'm trying to get you to expand me. Isn't that what the preachers tell us? You know, to stretch forth your tents, expand your cords. God wants to bless you. He does. But it's His kingdom. It's not our kingdom. So we need to seek to be unique in this generation and put our thumbprint on our destiny. Look at a scripture with me, please. It's in Numbers 32 and verse 42. This is very strange, this verse, because it's not found to be really much of a story. It just kind of shows up at the end of the chapter. It says, meanwhile, or back home at the farm. I mean, all of a sudden, it's an insertion that has nothing to do with the previous context of that chapter. He said there was a man called Noba. Anybody hear of Noba in the Bible before? Not Noah. Noba. I mean, Noba is obscure, but watch this. He captured the town of Kenneth and its surrounding villages, and he renamed that area Noba after himself. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, if you could tell the congregation of which you have been privileged to pastor that it's time for them to leave where they've been, to walk into their destiny and begin to administrate my kingdom as spokesmen and women for my glory on the earth, I will give them villages or towns, or I will give them areas of life that they will rename after themselves. In other words, your identity and my identity is in conquering the fear of man to declare the glory of the Lord. I was pretty intimidated yesterday. You know, when you're on vacation, you feel like you can witness to everybody. But now you're back in the U.S. You know how U.S. people are. I said, God, this has got to work here too, you know. But we were able to witness to four people yesterday and tell them about the love of Jesus. And one man knocked on my door. His name is Brian. And Brian, if you're here this morning, I know God's going to have a perfect plan for your life. He has around his neck a badge. It's very official. Looks like FBI. Pretty intimidating. And he tells me that he has some documents for me that I need to sign. And he's very professional. He's very monotone in his voice. And I come to the door and I go, "Hey, Brian, how are you?" And I said, "You know, it's not a mistake that you're at my door." He kind of cocks his head to the right like, okay. I said, "God brought our steps together because I need to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you very much and God has a plan for your life." Okay. And I said, "When you go back to your car, I just want you to talk to Jesus. And you know what? He'll talk back to you." Amen. I have to tell you that inside I was trembling and there was a bit of fear to be able to confront that situation, because circumstantially it didn't appear that he would be receptive. But then I thought, what could he do? Arrest me? Shoot me? Slap me? Spit in my face? Oh well. Right? I mean, what are you afraid of? And so as I closed the door, I said, "Thank you, Lord, that you brought this man to my door. You brought this person to my drive-up window. You put this taxi cab driver in my life. You brought this young man who should be pastoring in my life. You did this, oh God, today to arrange that I would pick up these clothes now. You canceled this flight that I would have to drive up here, because you see, I would have never met Beatrice if I didn't have to rent that car." And Beatrice, she was a cute lady. She's about 70, working at the Hertz rental counter. And I fired the question. "So, Beatrice?" She looked up at me after I told her she needed to be born again. And she goes, "You know, I don't really believe that." And the Holy Spirit's speaking to us to say, "You know what? That which resists, it's okay. You're not responsible. Wipe the dust off your feet and go on to the next town." But Noba, put the scripture back up, understood that people are like villages or cities. People have influence. The only way they're going to hear about God's plan and the miracles of Jesus is through you and me. We ought to take opportunity every day to move out of our nominal Christian faith and begin to implode upon people the love of God and the miracle power of Jesus Christ and his healing ability. When someone tells you that they've not been feeling well, you call on the miraculous Jesus, lay hands upon them, and expect them to recover. For this is the kingdom of God. It's not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So you need to seek to be unique. Say that with me. Seek to be unique. But you need to do one other thing. You need to pack and not look back. I'm telling you right now, I'm packing my bags and I'm not looking back. Listen to the scriptures that make this so clear to us. Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. One day, Terah took his son Abraham. Say that little phrase with me. Took his son. Took his son. It's amazing what takes us down life's journeys and we allow them to do it. Let me ask you a question. What's taking you the wrong direction? Or better yet, what's taking you the right direction but not taking you all the way? What happened in this story is that Terah took his son Abraham and daughter-in-law Sarai and his grandson Lot and left Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But they stopped instead at the village of Haran and they settled there. Haran was approximately halfway to Canaan. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, most of the church is camped out halfway to the kingdom. Not that you won't go to heaven. You'll go to heaven when you confess Jesus as your Savior. The halfway to the kingdom is we're not manifesting the kingdom on the earth. Because we're camped out at Haran. Terah took Abraham. Terah represented all the tradition of Abraham. Terah represented Ur of Chaldeans. He represented everything of the past. That's why I'm saying today we've got to pack and not look back. Jesus said, your traditions have nullified the word of God. So church, I'm asking you to prayerfully consider today that you will begin to take hold of your destiny and not allow your past to take hold of you and lead you halfway to the kingdom, but never walk in the kingdom of God. I believe that if every person in this auditorium this morning were to go out this week and witness to every person they come in contact with about the love of Jesus Christ, I challenge you that by next week, we would not be able to contain the amount of people coming to the house of God for the miracles that Jesus is getting ready to perform in this church. Let me tell you something, church. You better get ready because we're moving on. This will be a church known for its miracle power and the healing virtues of Jesus Christ. There will be people here regularly healed, regularly delivered, like Friday and Saturday with the Freedom Ministry with 23 teens that gone through the deliverance ministry. This will be a house of many, many healings. The time has come. It is time to move on. It is time to continue to press on. And I know some of you are going through horrific situations. You're going through very difficult times. But you must realize that you can't let your clutter deter your plans to move. This is by faith now. We have to sometimes get rid of the clutter. And I was telling you about Tina. She always thinks, well, let's have a garage sale. You know, we'll get rid of it, whatever. You know what? Just dump it. I'll give you an extra $300. Just go dump the stuff. It's time to dump your clutter. And you know what else you have to do when you move? You need to terminate some things. Shut off the utilities. In other words, that which has been feeding into your life needs to be cut off. There are some things that have been feeding into your life that need to be terminated. You know what I'm talking about. I don't need to get specific. But if there's some things in your life that have not been adding to your life, or they've not been encouraging you to go forward in the kingdom, we need to terminate them. We need to give them a shut-off notice. And then finally, we need to change our address. You know what you do when you put in a change of address form? You're making a public confession. You're going down to the post office. You're saying, look, I don't live here anymore. All my mail that comes here needs to go over there because that's where I'm moving. See, you got to make a covenant with God and a public confession that I'm having a change of address. I am not going to stop until I arrive in my destiny. Amen. Now, notice this. If you stop at Haran and you think, God, where are you? Where are your blessings? Well, they're in Canaan, sweetheart. Because you did a change of address for your destiny. And if you've been hanging out as a nominal Christian, bored with church, and that's where most Christians are, they're bored with church. That's why we always look for the new fad that comes out, whether it's hula hoop Christianity, or we oil you up and slap you down, or we come up with a new song or the new deliverance and throw up in a bag or do other some laughing, slapping thing, because we're bored with the kingdom, and it's because we don't know the kingdom. But when you begin to lead people to Christ every day, and you begin to manifest the miracle healing power of Jesus through your life to the sick and the oppressed every day, and you begin to see devils begin to tremble just when you get up out of bed in the morning every day, you'll have so much joy, so much peace, and so much happiness, you'll never get bored with the kingdom of God. So it's time to change our address. You see, your check is in the mail, but it's at the post office in Canaan, not Haran. It's time to change the atmosphere of a culture. The atmosphere of a culture. It's time to go to the place that God is calling us to, because that place is pregnant with opportunities for miracles. But until we get to that place, we can't be impregnated with the miraculous power of God. And so I invite us all to come to that place today. It's time for a change. It's time to know God and to make Him known. I was reading this morning the book of Joshua and Judges, that the people of Israel served the Lord while Joshua was alive, and the leaders that served with Joshua, because they saw the things that God had done. But soon as they died, those that did not see no longer served the Lord. And you know what that told me? A generation didn't testify of God's power to the next generation. And as I reflected upon my future, which I know is brief, in comparison, I've now spent 30 years of labor of ministry here. And should the Lord give me another 10 years, God spoke to me while I was gone and said, testify of my miracle power to those that follow you. Otherwise, their hearts will be turned toward other gods. If there was any failure of the leaders of Israel, it was that. And so I'm inviting all of us to testify to a generation that God still heals shoulders. God still lifts burdens out of our belly. God still heals feet of people on remote islands. God still plants and arranges schedules to bring glory to His name. God still raises the dead. God still saves the sinner. And God is still building His church. And it's time now, over the next period of years, this is the decade of decision. My wife and I were about 200 miles south of the island of Haiti when we got the word that there was a 7-point magnitude earthquake in Port-au-Prince, as all of you are well aware of now with all the coverage. We knew we were going to pass right by the island and said, God, you strategically planted us here that we could stretch forth our hand over that island and speak peace to it. Perhaps there's some photos now that they're going to show you, some slides of some of the devastation. While that occurred, our director of Destiny Village was on the ground with a team, and they began ministering to the cries of those that were caught under the rubble. Thank God we had a team that was there in the middle of trial. Children crushed by concrete. Parents suddenly swept away by a devastation of only 60 seconds. Cries declaring it's the end of the world. Jesus is coming. Rick said that the cries of the people were so unnerving he could hardly take it. People were put in dump trucks and they were buried in mass graves. On Tuesday, should we get the clearance, Pastor Troy, doctors and nurses from our ministry will be heading to Haiti to help. Destiny Village is going to begin to make Pierre Payen, of which our village is located, the hospital there, our point of ministry. We're going to minister to as many as we can. All of our missions money this month will be sent to Haiti because we believe that this is an emergency. And the time has now come to rise with many others in the nations around the world, but for the Church of Jesus Christ to show Him strong. I believe while our team, Pastor Troy and Jeff and others that are going, doctors and nurses from the University Hospital from the East Church campus, they're going to administer the natural help. This is what God spoke to me as I sent a text 150 miles south of the island of Haiti to Pastor Troy. I said, this is such a time that God will give you an opportunity to become a catalyst for the miraculous. And when they say, my son has died, I believe with everything in me that they can not only administer natural health, but lay hands on dead children and say, rise in the name of Jesus Christ and watch them recover. You see, this is an opportunity when you and I must take a different posture. Today, we're doing something different. God spoke to me. And He said, I want you for a season to have your ushers stand at the doors on the exit of your service. And allow the people to give their tithe and offering as they go out. I will not pass another offering bag in this church until God tells me to do it. I'm going to allow you to give or not as you leave. But watch this video. It's kind of raw and unprofessional. Tina was my camera girl. As I stood by the edge of the ship and overlooked Haiti.
Hi, everybody. He and I are passing by today. The island behind us, you know, is Haiti. Yesterday, a devastating earthquake of 7 points magnitude had literally brought Port-au-Prince into rubble. Some expect over 100,000 to lose their lives. And I don't believe that we're passing by this island by mistake. I believe we're here strategically to bring to you this appeal. You see, this island, although you can see the outline only, there are 9 million people crying out. Many say 3 million have been affected by this earthquake. Some expect 100,000 or more to lose their life. Nations are convening. Supplies are being sent. But where is the church? I believe this is an opportunity for us, just like the Good Samaritan, not to be like the Levite, not to be like the priest who passed by on the other side, but that we might understand the clarion call of God, that we can do everything we can to send relief. In a few moments, we're going to give you that opportunity. We're going to give you an opportunity to sacrificially give to a people that are crying out for help. You may not hear their cry today, but God does. And God, hearing their cries, will speak to your heart and speak to my heart. Thank you today for listening to the Holy Spirit. Thank you today for helping the people of Haiti. Thank you today for loving God with all your heart.
On the way to Jericho, a man was overtaken. A priest came and went by the other side. A Levite came and went to the other side. But a Samaritan knelt down and poured in oil and wine. As we were passing by that island, God said, tell the congregation to not pass by. Along with your tithe and offering today, please take an envelope and mark it Haiti, an additional offering for the people there, and we'll say thank you and God bless you for your giving. Now, as you prepare your tithe and offering and we're about ready to leave, Pastor Troy is going to come and administer opportunity for those that need further ministry in this house. But we're looking forward to meeting with you again on Thursday night. Come expecting miracles. Come expecting God to move. I'm telling you, church, this is a new season. This is a new time. Don't expect church to ever be the same. Don't expect your life to ever be the same. Pastor Troy?
Amen. You know what I think would be appropriate to do today? I heard God speaking. Perhaps maybe you could give me some help, guys. It's time to leave this place, as Pastor declared. And I think it would be a good idea for us to visit the altar today before we all left. And as we visit the altar, it might be a good idea for perhaps for you and I to write down something that we're throwing in the trash. And we're not willing to take with us into 2010. So as we close today, the altar ministers are going to come and there'll be boxes all around the altar. We got to get out of this place. We got to get out of a place of unbelief. We're the church of the living God. We got to get out of a place of doubt. We're the church of the living God. We got to get out of a place of poverty. We're the church of the living God. We are the church. We are the hope. We are the incarnation of Jesus Christ in the earth. We are his hands and feet sent from a kingdom to do the kingdom's work here in this earth. Declared in his word that he will move through us and bless the nations. So today marks the day that we'll move forward and allow opportunity to meet God's spirit for the earth. You know that that is what the earth is crying for. It's crying for the opportunity for you and I, as sons and daughters of the living God, to reveal and manifest his kingdom in the earth. Sickness is just waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. So today, as we close and leave this place, let's mark down what we're leaving behind in Haran. We've come this far. Ebenezer, heretofore the Lord has helped us. But we've got to travel on into the promised land. There's a city called Lorraine that's waiting for us to bring them into the promises of God. Perhaps you're here today and you don't know Jesus. You've heard this message today and it's touched your heart. Don't leave this place without first sealing it between you and your Savior. He desires to know you. He desires to love you. He desires to point to you to the purpose for which you were born. He knew you before you were born. He created you for a purpose and an assignment for the earth. And the earth is waiting for it today. Stand to your feet with me today, church. Altar ministers, if you'll come now. I need to remind you that on the 24th of January will be a 30th celebration for Pastors Lewis and Tina Canton. And those tickets are available today. I think this is the last day, so you need to get those tickets today. They'll be out in the foyer. Happy birthday to Mike Russell. Let's close in prayer, church. Father, we bless you today. You're a mighty God and you're mighty to save. We give you glory and honor. We thank you, Lord, that we're leaving this place. We're leaving a place of doubt. We're leaving a place of unbelief. We're leaving a place of sickness and disease. We're leaving a place of poverty and lack and insufficiency. And we're coming into the promises of God, not for our sake, but for the world's sake. It is why we're here, God. And we declare today with our hearts and with our hands raised that we are the kingdom on the earth. We are here to bring the kingdom, and through us the nations shall be blessed. Not just one or two people, but the nations of the earth shall be blessed through these people here in Lorraine, Ohio. We give you our pledge and our allegiance, Lord. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer today for anything at all, these mighty warriors want to pray with you. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. Let Jesus talk to you this week. Let him talk through you. Allow opportunity to meet God's spirit. Come if you need prayer. God bless you.